Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Biweekly Asset Allocation Report for September 8th, 2025. I'm Phil Adler. Your investment in the S&P 500 might not be as diversified as you think. Confluence Chief Market Strategist Patrick Ferran-Hernandez joins us today to discuss if now might be the time to adjust your strategy. Patrick, the title of this week's report is The Cap-Weighted and Equal-Weighted S&P 500. You're referring, of course, to index investing, a strategy which just about everybody seems to employ these days. Let's begin with the most basic question underlying this discussion. What is the difference between investing in a cap-weighted S&P 500 index and an equal-weighted S&P 500 index?
Well, hi, Phil. Thanks for having me on the program. And regarding your question, it all comes down to how much of each stock is represented in the index. As the name implies, the S&P 500 index has about 500 stocks in it. In the more popular version of it, the stocks are weighted by their capitalization in the financial markets, or the total value of each company's stocks. Right now, Nvidia has the biggest market cap among the S&P 500 stocks, so it alone represents more than 7% of the index. The drug company Eli Lilly has a much smaller market cap, so it only accounts for about 1% of the index, and plenty of other companies have an even smaller weight. In contrast, in the equal-weighted index, each name gets the same weight. For the S&P 500, that means each stock has a weight of just 0.2% of the index, even if it's a biggie like Nvidia or Eli Lilly.
So these days, when you invest in a cap-weighted S&P 500 index, you're really not diversified since you're investing mostly in the largest companies in the index, which are Nvidia and the other Magnificent Seven technology companies.
I would say that you're still diversified, but not nearly as much as you might think. Now, keep in mind that the relative proportion of the top stocks can fluctuate over time. In some periods, the disparity between the biggest stocks and the smaller ones isn't as big as it is right now. But at present, because of the extremely high valuations on the Mag 7 stocks, they represent a really disproportionate share of the index right now. In that sense, when you invest in a cap-weighted S&P 500 right now, you really are investing mostly in the Mag 7 and a few other popular stocks.
Well, what are most investors doing these days? Have most been choosing lately the cap-weighted approach over the equal-weighted strategy?
Yes, the cap-weighted version of the S&P 500 is pretty much the default approach for most investors. Most of the available funds tracking the S&P 500 also seem to track the cap-weighted version. It certainly is possible to invest in the equal-weighted version of the S&P 500, but most investors don't do that, at least not yet.
And Patrick, has this very popularity been influencing the actual performance of the index?
Well, our view is that the flood of money into cap-weighted index funds these days serves to buoy the most popular stocks, or those with the high valuations and really big market caps. After all, when investors put their money into a cap-weighted index fund and the fund manager allocates it based on market cap, those big popular stocks get the bulk of the funds. At the very least, that helps support the extreme valuations of the top stocks. It builds a certain momentum into the top stocks. Conversely, since this style of investing allocates much less to the smaller cap stocks, it does nothing to boost their relative valuations.
So, Patrick, these very large cap stocks might be rising at least in part because investors are piling in with cap-weighted index funding.
Yes, cap-weighted index investing is helping support the prices and price appreciation of the big, well-known stocks. Yes.
Well, would you go so far as to say that a new investment in a cap-weighted S&P 500 index might be risky?
Yes, in the sense that it would entail a fairly large amount of concentration risk. The lion's share of it would be going into a relatively small number of stocks, most of which are in just one or two sectors. If investors suddenly sour on those sectors or stocks, your investment could pretty easily turn south because of the concentration risk.
Patrick, in your report, you compare the performance of these types of indices down through the years, these two types of indices. What did you find?
Well, the reality is that over the last 35 years, the cap-weighted S&P 500 had an average annual total return of just 10.6%, and I say just in air quotes. But the equal-weighted S&P 500 had an average total return of 11.1%, beating it slightly. Now, in full disclosure, the equal-weighted version also had a slightly bigger standard deviation, so you could say that it was slightly more risky. Nevertheless, the figures show that the two versions are both viable, and the equal-weighted version is less susceptible to concentration risk.
So can we say that history alone might argue for a switch now to more equal-weighted S&P 500 investing?
Yes. In fact, to clarify the connection to concentration risk, our analysis shows that the relative performance of the equal-weighted index gradually deteriorates when there's a bull market and investors are piling into growthy stocks with lots of momentum. In those situations, the high-valued stocks that are so prevalent in the cap-weighted index are really galloping forward, leaving relatively small price gains for the less popular, smaller stocks. But when the market finally reverses and investors sell off the darlings, the performance of the equal-weighted index suddenly improves. In other words, the lower-valued, smaller-cap stocks hold up relatively better. The lesson is that when the market has gotten frothy, investors can probably reduce their concentration risk and help their returns by shifting into an equal-weight version of the index.
Do you think a switch by a majority of investors back to the equal-weighted approach is inevitable?
Well, we think a lot of investors will do it or are doing it, but probably not enough. After all, as I mentioned before, the cap-weighted index is more popular, and there are more funds tracking it. It takes a little bit of work to identify and then switch over to the equal-weighted index funds.
Well, if and when the switch happens to a greater extent, do you think it will be abrupt?
Well, it's probably too early to say. We haven't seen evidence of it happening yet. All the same, it may be abrupt simply because a lot of investors today seem content with chasing the performance of the cap-weighted indexes despite the concentration risk. They could well be too late to shift in ways that cut their risks.
Patrick, for investors with large holdings now in a cap-weighted S&P 500 index, would you be apt to recommend a simple transfer of some of those assets to an equal-weighted index? Or do you think it might be time to move some of those assets into small caps, which are showing signs of life lately?
I personally would say that we're more inclined to prioritize the shift to equal-weighted large-cap indexes like the S&P 500 rather than a wholesale shift into small caps. Even though the economic and financial environment is starting to look better for small caps per se, they are still facing big challenges from factors such as the new tariffs, high interest rates, and a potential slowdown in economic growth.
Thank you, Patrick. The title of this week's report is The Cap-Weighted and Equal-Weighted S&P 500, and you can find a link to the written report, which includes some revealing charts, on the Confluence webpage, confluenceinvestment.com. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice. This information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.